Thank you, Gemma. Well, we've been away walking in the Cotswolds this week, as you might have read in the Alma Mail, and the first 3 days were really like midsummer, and I thought I'd share one of my pictures. Point it that way. There we are. That's the view I was kind of describing in the Alma Mail. Jonathan doing a bit of his bird spotting. Anybody who can name the tree gets 6 extra points. And apart from the great views, you can see that the Cotswolds is farming country, isn't it? And as we were walking round, it's definitely at the moment the time when it's coming up for harvest time. There was lots of new fresh bales around, you know, wrapped up in their black plastic and on the fields of stubble. And we also saw quite a few fields like this of maize waiting to be picked. You can see that I was there as well. I thought I'd include a picture of me just to show I was really there. The maize waiting for the picking. We've got some of that in our garden as well. And we also saw plenty of wild crops that look something like this. The blackberries waiting for the birds to harvest them. I love a blackberry, and Jonathan gets a bit annoyed when he's having to wait for me all the time because I'm busy eating the blackberries as I go along. But he did let me stop on the last day, and we picked a couple of pounds, didn't we, which I'm going to make into some blackberry jam. So we had a great time. And I guess for us here in the city, you know, it's not harvest time, isn't such a big deal as it is round there in the countryside and as it was for our ancestors. But it's still really good for us to have a time in the year when we can thank God for his creation and for his provision. And that's why we're having, as Gemma mentioned, in a couple of weeks' time, 3rd of October, we're going to have our creation care and Thanksgiving service, and we're going to have a harvest lunch afterwards, cooked by Jean. Creation care is a really hot topic at the moment, isn't it, in our culture and in the world. So that's going to be a really good service to think about inviting people to. If you have someone who you sometimes talk to about church, or you've got some relatives nearby, see if they'd like to come along on that day. And next week we're hoping to have some invitation cards, so do invite people along. And between now and then, on the creation and nature theme for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be thinking about some of the ways that God speaks into our lives through those processes that we see in creation and in nature. If you can remember back to last year when it was the lockdown, it seems a bit of a sort of episode of another world now, doesn't it? When we were all stuck at home, do you remember that feeling of kind of reconnecting with nature that there was? We went out for our walks, didn't we? And there was no traffic noise and we could hear the birds singing. I remember really noticing that. You could hear the wind in the trees. And it's usually not hard at all to hear the voice of God speaking through nature. People have heard it all through the Bible, haven't they? We often read of the prophets and the psalmists referring to trees by rivers, or lambs lying down and sheep straying, eagles on their wings. You can probably hear the ideas going through your mind of your own recollection from the Old Testament. And in this series, we're going to be looking at some processes that we see in nature of pruning, fruitfulness, and sowing and growing. And we're starting this week with pruning, which is probably the toughest, I have to say. I expect we're all happy to grow and be fruitful, aren't we? But being cut back and reshaped, that's not always perhaps quite so appealing. The passage today that Jonathan just read for us is Jesus himself teaching us through nature. Now, Jesus lived at a time when the society was based on agriculture, wasn't it? Farming and fishing were all around him. So it was there right in front of him, and he drew on those processes for illustration all the time in his teaching. This week, the words we're looking at are from John 15, and it's about a vine and a gardener. So to give you some context, Jesus is in Jerusalem for Passover, and he's in an upper room with his disciples. It's the night before he dies, so right at the end of his life, and he and his friends have been eating a meal together, and they've just shared some bread and wine, and Jesus is talking to them about what's going to happen, teaching them how to handle what's ahead. And so with the wine right in front of them, the vines and their fruit are easy for him to call to mind, to use as an illustration. So let's listen again to just some of those verses. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can it bear fruit unless you remain in me. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. He finishes off that passage. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So when we bear fruit, it shows the world who we are, doesn't it? Our fruit. You can tell a tree by its fruit. You can see that we're following Jesus and that we're learning from him, because otherwise our fruit wouldn't look the way that it does. We're being discipled by him. And his vision for us and for our church is fruitfulness, because it brings glory to God. So what do we mean, do you think, by fruit and fruitfulness? Well, we're going to look a bit more at that next week from this same passage. But for now, it's enough to say it's got two aspects to it. There's a certain aspect about it's what we become, isn't it, on the inside. And you could call that the fruit of the Spirit. It's something that's growing inside us. But it's also about what we produce, what we build in the world around us, the effect we have in the world around us. But it's more than just doing stuff. It's about doing stuff that counts for the kingdom. That's what Jesus says. We need to be producing fruit that will last, which means that we need to be doing it by drawing on the life of the Spirit, remaining in him. And I think we'll hear more about that next week from Neil, who's coming to speak to us then. So while we think about it related to gardens, how many people here would call themselves gardeners? I know there's certainly one, two, three, a few people. Yeah, sounds like Mark's been down the garden doing a bit of gardening. Pauline definitely has got a lovely garden, which I'm sure quite a few people have been in, definitely in the true gardener line. Well, last year, I pretended to be a bit of a gardener. I am a bit of a gardener. Jonathan's a bit of a gardener, aren't you? And there was time for it, wasn't there, in lockdown. There was nowhere to go, not much else to do, and our fat garden finally got some proper attention. And we dug out a vegetable patch, which I can show you a picture of what it looked like last year. It's not quite as good this year, because I haven't given it so much attention. But you can see on here, we had two types of beans. We had potatoes, two types of courgettes, Swiss chard, maize starting to grow in that picture. All the things that, like, if you're pretending to be a real gardener, you might actually plant. And what I realized from that is that true gardeners really care about their plants, don't they? They really care. They're like children. They know the bits that are growing and they spot what's happening to them. And it struck me that Jesus tells us that our Father, God, he is that sort of gardener with us. He really cares about us. We're like the vines, the plants in his garden. He wants the best for us. He tends us. He protects us. He nourishes us, just like I'm sure Pauline does with her garden to make it look as good as it does. And he wants us to grow into all that he had in mind for us when he planted us. He knew when he planted us, just as when we plant those seeds, what potential they hold. He wants us to look as good as the picture on the seed packet. And I'll tell you what, you have to be a pretty good gardener to get plants as good as that. And I didn't get as far as that. But I did grow a couple of melons, actually. And the amount of effort and time I put into them, I reckon they were worth about £20 each. But I didn't manage that this year. Well, God, he is that expert gardener. He can make us look as good as we do on the seed packet. He's grafted us in to a vine where we can get the nourishment that we need, that life-giving vine. And he wants us to grow and give that best fruit. So we can trust him. That's what it's telling us. It's important. That's really important when it comes to the process of pruning. If we're going to submit to pruning, we need to be absolutely convinced that we can trust that person, that God, who's holding the clippers. And this whole chapter of John 15 is about the relationship that we have with our Father, the gardener. Jesus is inviting us into that close, trusting relationship with himself as the vine and with his Father as the gardener. A relationship where we're in communion with Jesus and we're friends with him. He says, I no longer call you servants, but friends, because I'm telling you how things are going to be. I'm sharing my secrets with you. And God is there wanting us to grow and flourish, and he's showing us how. Jesus says, doesn't he, my Father is the gardener. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Like, it's a consequence of the fact that we are a branch of the vine that we will get pruned. So what does Jesus mean, do you think, when he's talking about pruning? How can we relate the pruning of plants like vines and the things we see in our garden to the processes and our experiences in our own lives? Well, there is a bit of a difference here between us and plants, because plants are generally passive in the pruning process, aren't they? So we're not quite like plants in that way, because there is a place for us where we can join in with the pruning. It's that mysterious relationship where God works in us and we work with God. We need both. It doesn't work if we just do it ourselves. That's just what people try to do. They're always trying to improve themselves, and you know how difficult that is. And it's not just about God coming along and zapping us. There's that relationship, that mysterious interplay between God working in us and us working with him. Because unlike plants, we can reflect on ourselves and cooperate with some of the things that are going on. We can look with him at what he sees in our lives. He sees that bigger picture. He can keep us in shape and see the overall whole from outside. And he can see where we fit in to the garden as a whole. And we can also choose, to some extent, how we respond to God's cultivation of our lives. We can sometimes choose what grows. And we can choose maybe what gets cut back, where our energy and our resources get used. So how do we actually cooperate? What do we do to join in with this pruning process and make it effective? Well, to start with, it helps if we lower our defences. And I'll show you what I mean with a bit of a pruning analogy. This is a stem of the plant in my garden, which is the most pleasing plant in my garden. But as you can see from that, it does not welcome pruning. I mean, it looks like it's actively resisting me, doesn't it? And I can tell you, when I've pruned it, my hands are completely lacerated for about 3 days and sting, but there isn't really any other way to cut it back. If I let it resist me and have its own way, then it gets very big and leggy and it falls over in the rain and it doesn't show itself off to its best advantage. So it would be great if it did cooperate with me a bit more. But what it looks like when I finish pruning and let it flower is that. And it's just covered in roses. It starts in June, and if I remember to deadhead it, it carries on having roses on it for about till December. But it does very easily get too leggy, and the rain just pulls it down. So we can cooperate with God by pulling in our thorns and being a bit less prickly. But to do that, we really have to trust the gardener, don't we? Luckily, that plant, it seems to trust me. I do get to prune it. We really need to believe that we have a good God holding those secateurs who knows what he's doing, because pruning can be painful. Sometimes pruning can just be a bit of tripping, but sometimes it can be quite a radical reshaping, can't it? And that can hurt. It says in the letter to the Hebrews, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. No cutting back or pruning seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. You can hear the sort of same type of gardening themes in there, can't you? It's an encouragement from God, trust me. It might hurt now, but the result will be worth it. So lowering our defences, cooperating, it's good. And I'm sure we'd all agree with that principle. Of course, we want God to shape us, don't we? But what does it actually look like to let God in if it can be painful? What are we actually choosing? Well, if pruning is painful, a way of recognising it is that it can feel a bit threatening. And a good question to ask yourself to recognise when it's happening is, do you know how you defend yourself when you're feeling threatened? What do you do if somebody's being a bit threatening with you? Well, the chances are it's one of the classics. Either we take flight, don't we? When we basically run away and avoid the situation, don't engage with it. Or you might be someone who fights back, either with words or with signals that the person had better move off. Or you might be someone who freezes so that your mind just goes blank, like rabbit in the headlights type of thing, and you can't really do anything. Or you might be someone who fragments. Suddenly, you can't seem to access any sensible thoughts in your head, and you just flail about making random choices. Flight, fright, freeze, fragment. Those are the classic defense mechanisms that we have. So next time you feel one of those things, you could think of it as a prompt to see whether there's an opportunity to cooperate with some pruning and shaping. Perhaps there's something coming in there that's trying to make a difference. There's lots of life circumstances that we can get defensive about, aren't there? So there's probably plenty of chance to practice, but I know for me, I know sometimes I can get a bit defensive around feedback, as Jonathan will tell you. It often comes when you're not expecting, and you suddenly feel those defense mechanisms firing up. And often, sometimes, obviously not with Jonathan, who's very caring and gentle with it, but sometimes when you get feedback, it doesn't feel so gently caring, does it? It can feel a bit blunt and diving in and perhaps hitting a bit of a soft spot. But the way I try and think about it is that I remember that one of my life's values is wisdom. And now, when I feel that defense coming up of trying to justify why the feedback is unreasonable, try and remind myself that wise people listen to feedback. And in fact, it's wise to sift it and listen through it for those grains of truth. Keep the defenses down and just take it and listen. Perhaps even say, is there anything else? It's also an opportunity to be a bit character shaping, isn't it? To be able to respond to feedback with a bit of grace and kindness to the person who's offering it, whatever truth there is in it. Because as my wise friend says, people are thinking it, whether you're prepared to listen to it or not. And isn't it better to know? And that's a way where we can grow fruit inside us by being the sort of people that other people feel that they're not going to meet defences when they come and say something. So, what about the purpose of this pruning and shaping? As the pruning gets going, what are we going to do? Well, to start with, we need to catch the overall vision. And I've got a picture here of some winter jasmine in my garden that hasn't been pruned. And you can see that it's really dense and overcrowded. You can't see through it. You can't really see its shape. It's just a massive mess. And there's probably been times in my life when my life has looked a bit like that plant. And maybe yours has too. If you drew a picture of everything that's going on in your life and you joined up all the dots, would it look a bit like that sometimes? So where do you start? Well, it's a bit daunting. And when I feel like that, I can be a bit overwhelmed. It's difficult to know where to start. And it's true that you do prune different plants in different ways, and I'm sure God does treat each of us differently. But there are some general principles, many of which about actual gardening, I learned from my father-in-law. And a good place to start is cutting out all the dead and weak and damaged branches. If you remember, last year's lockdown felt a bit like that, didn't it? It was like a good clear out. It was done to us. We didn't really have a lot of choice. It stripped out all the non-essentials in our lives, and we had to go over to essential relationships, essential travel, essential purchases. Do you remember? It's slowly crept back from that, hasn't it? But that's what it was like last year. And now, with things picking up again, the start of the new academic year, what are we going to allow to grow back? And what of the things are we going to put on the bonfire? Perhaps there are some things in our lives that we just need to leave behind. There might be some things in church that we need to leave behind, that things that we used to do and were great in their time, but they're not for now. They're taking up the resources and just tangling the bush. I think I'm going to have to leave some of my gardening dreams behind, I have to say. Maybe you've got some past projects or old dreams that have run their course. Once you get started with the pruning and there's a bit more space and a shape, the light gets in and the tangles start to unravel a bit, you can see, can't you, which branches are growing from which and what's sustaining what. And when I've been pruning my rose, you'll see here, see, there's a nice, well, deadhead, I suppose this was partway through the season, and it's got a nice new shoot growing. And those new shoots, they need some light and space if they're going to grow. And one day, that's going to grow into more of those gorgeous roses, so long as I keep giving it the light and space it needs. So in that freed up time from lockdown, and since then over the summer maybe, perhaps you've seen some new shoots, something that you might want to give space to and encourage to grow. Clear out the old stuff and think which of the new stuff's going to grow in. Maybe it's giving you some new shape or a new direction. It could be a dream that you've had, you know, something you fancied doing. Maybe someone's made you an offer and you need room to say yes. I know over lockdown, when we left our old company, pretty much everything was cut back. And because of that, when this came up, this role that I'm doing now, it meant that I did have space to say yes, even though I hadn't known this was going to emerge. But because of clearing out all the dead wood and really thinking, no, I'm not going to be doing those old things anymore, it gave me a chance to grow into a new shape and just the way that we can when there's a bit of space there and the light can get in. Now, sometimes we just have too many shoots growing, don't we? And a difficult part of pruning, if you're a sort of sensitive soul, is choosing which healthy shoots and branches to keep and which ones to cut back. And here's some tomatoes. I'm not wildly good at growing tomatoes, I have to say. I always lose interest just near the end and they sort of go over. But I know with tomatoes, if you've got a proper plant, you're only supposed to let like 4 or 5 trusses grow. And after that, you have to start cutting them off, which is hard to do because the plant, it can't support more fruit than that. And if you leave it with too much fruit to do, then hearing Gemma talking about the bottom of her garden, she should see the bottom of our garden. This actually was last year. We have removed it since then. This is a very badly pruned plum tree with too much fruit on it, which ended up falling over. And that is the risk when we haven't followed the rules of living within our resources, isn't it? We end up bowing over with the strain of it, when really it would have been better to choose and concentrate on growing some really great fruit on fewer stems. It's really hard to let the... Oh, it's finished, you can turn it off now. It's really hard to let the other healthy stems be pruned out when you can sense that there's fruit there. I mean, I find that I'm always interested in new things, and it can be easy to gather into what I'm doing, new things with a bit of excitement. But You know, Jesus says, every branch that bears fruit is pruned so it'll be even more fruitful. And that's what we need to do. In fact, I was chatting to my daughter Rachel, telling her about what I was going to say this morning. And it was one of those little times of feedback. She said, Mum, maybe you should listen to your own talk a bit more. So yeah, there's wisdom in that. And so maybe just selecting some of the shoots, the things that bring the best fruit, is something that I need to give a bit of thought to. But I know God, he is gently tending us, isn't he, with his green fingers. When he prunes, he's not so much trying to teach us a lesson. That's not really what he's doing. He's trying to train us in the way that we should go. Because he wants to nurture us. He wants to help us prioritize our resources. He wants to encourage us to bring to the world the best that he planted in us. That picture on the seed packet that he knew was there when he put it into us. Fruit that only we can bring. And he's reminding us to stay connected with that true vine, because that is the source of our life. Without that, we can't do anything, which doesn't mean we're sitting there doing nothing. Of course we can do stuff. We can look just as busy as ever, and I can be pretty good at looking busy. But if it's not brought to life by the Spirit of God running through it, then in the kingdom, in God's economy, it doesn't count. And it won't be producing that fruit that lasts. And before we finish, there's one other type of pruning. Sometimes in life, maybe once or twice in life, maybe, we have to undergo a sort of radical pruning, don't we? Like shrubs need when you cut them right down to the ground. We had one that we did this year, and I was inspecting it for ages afterwards, trying to see whether I'd killed it or not, which I hadn't. It has grown back. But sometimes that can happen to us, can't it? And it can be really painful and hard. When that happens, it's not like we've got a choice, you know, what should we keep, what should we grow, what should we throw away. The only choice then is just to trust God and draw the life from him and believe that when we've been cut back, something else will grow. And I'm mentioning that because it's a much deeper type of change. And I guess it happened to me about 4 years ago. A load of things got cut out at the same time. Rachel came home from university and she wasn't at all well. I'd just been doing a course the whole year and I was completely exhausted, so I had no reserves left at all. We were working really hard at work. Work was expanding and I was pretty overwhelmed because I didn't have enough time to do all that was needed. Both my boys were moving on, getting married that year, so that was a loss, even though it was a happy thing as well. And at the same time, the person I worked with most at Woodlands, she ended up in hospital with sepsis, and so I sort of lost the support of my best friend and work I was doing. And I didn't have choices. I wasn't thinking, oh, I'm going to cut out this shoot. It was just all falling apart, and it felt like being pruned. It was not like cooperating, and there wasn't any choice about which shoots. It just got cut out, and the only choice really was staying connected with God and drawing on him and the ways that I'd learned to do, which is why it's so important for us to build and develop that relationship, so that when we need to, we know how to remain in him, so that when pruning happens in a way which is something that we can't control, then we've still got that Spirit of God coming through to bring the new shoots and to bring the new shape. And I don't really understand exactly what happened. It was a really, really hard time, but it definitely changed me. I know I look the same, but when I came back, it's a different shape. Maybe it's opened up new areas to light. Maybe the branches that have grown back have had a different balance. And maybe I'm useful for different things than I used to be. But that's what we trust God for, isn't it? Because we know that he is the good gardener. So, as we finish, what have we heard from these verses? Well, we've heard Jesus inviting us into a close and trusting relationship with him. That is the first thing. And with his Father, where we can lower our defenses and trust that one who's tending us. And he invites us to partner with God the gardener to cut out that dead and unproductive wood and bring light and space to the new shoots. So some things are going, some things are being encouraged, and to choose those best stems to produce the fruit will last. And I think that's a really appealing invitation, isn't it? It gives meaning and purpose to our life and work. It makes us look good. It makes us look good. And when I was thinking about this, it reminded me again of Pauline's garden. I'm sure there might be other great gardeners in the church. Maybe some of them aren't here as well. But Pauline's is an amazing garden. And who wouldn't want to spend time in that garden? Just enjoying all the way the plants work together, and they've each been pruned in the way that suits them, and then you put them together and you get this overall effect, which is just lovely. And I was thinking about it. I was thinking, we could take that as a bit of a prophetic picture, couldn't we, for our church? All the plants individually cared for and pruned as each one needs. And then together they form this appealing and inviting place that draws people in. And this is to my Father's glory, that we bear much fruit, showing ourselves to be his disciples. So as we finish, let's just take a moment to reflect, and because it's things that we want to think about and take away with us. Let's just pray. Father God, we remember your goodness as we've prayed during this service. We want to cooperate with you and be shaped by you. And to do that, we choose to live in an undefended place with you. And as we start at the beginning of this sort of academic year, the beginning of a busier time after the summer, we reflect on our lives as they get busy again. God, help us to have wisdom in choosing the things that we leave behind and seeing the things that we want to encourage. And when things happen where there's no choice, the choice isn't ours, we want to commit to staying connected to that life of the Spirit where we remain in you, because in that we will regrow and produce fruit that lasts. We thank you, God, that this is to our Father's glory, that we bear much fruit, showing ourselves to be your disciples. Amen. Amen. Thank you.